question, in which I ask that everybody agree not to interrupt and to allow each panelist their turn without any interjection. So let's begin the conversation by identifying how the generations are feeling about each other. I'm going to start with the millennials and then give the baby boomers the final word. We'll go one by one, each panelist getting 1 minute to answer the same question. Starting with you, Alex, what about the boomer generation is problematic for the success of the conservative movement going forward?
In my personal opinion, one of my biggest complaints about the boomer generation is their lack of self-awareness. You know, this is a generation that was able to buy a home. They're able to have access to a lot of things that we're not currently able to have access to. They didn't have to compete with illegal immigrants for jobs. And I think that it is really boiled down to a fact that they didn't have access to the same information that our generation did because they got the internet so much later in life. And the example that I like to use is like my dad. I've grown up in Dallas, Texas my entire life. And if I tell my dad that the CIA was involved in JFK's assassination, he almost wants to hit me because he doesn't believe in conspiracies. But then I talk about the Vietnam War and I bring up the Gulf of Tonkin, which was a false flag attack that brought us into a war that killed thousands and thousands and thousands of people, you know, in a war that he was almost drafted into. He just doesn't understand that because he doesn't know how to work the internet properly. And so I think it is just the lack of self-awareness for the America that they used to live in is gone. It's not the same one that we're in right now. And the fact that they have a lack of information that young people like myself were able to get.
Harrison?
I think we need to work together. I know it's supposed to be a debate. I feel like there should be a call to action for the boomers because I think Alex is right that There's a disconnect with the younger people, and I think the biggest problem with the boomers, if that's the question, it's the holding on and the hoarding of power, and that there's not been a good enough job done of passing power on. I mean, we don't even have Gen X here, right? They aren't even represented. We've skipped right over them. Now the millennials are waiting for our turn. It's almost like Gen X never got the turn. It's almost like the boomers that got into office in the 60s are still there, still running things, and haven't actually like cultivated that younger generation to replace them and to pick up the reins. And so that causes resentment in the younger generation, which is, of course, returned, I think, from the boomers because they feel it and spit it right back. So, yeah, it seems like the boomer mentality that I hear a lot that gets on people's nerves is you guys should have seen this place when we got here. It was a paradise, you know?
I would echo the access and the influence that Harrison is talking about, where I think millennials feel like they're kind of getting cut out of the deal. And what I would use the current example of what's happening on the right wing right now. If you want to use a specific example, if you talk about any war, but in this case, the Iran war, the younger generations are done. They are anti-war. They vote against wars. This has been proven in multiple election cycles. And it feels like here's the millennials. We just put this administration in the White House. We put Republicans in charge of Congress. And it's like, okay, we did that. And then what do we get? We get right back to the same boomer foreign policies. We get right back to the same boomer policies. And now we're sitting here saying, well, wait a second. We're the ones that got this administration in power. Why aren't we getting represented? And I feel like it's different when you say that to maybe a 20-year-old and you say, hey, you're still young, you have experience. We're in our 30s now. We've come of age now. We are about to inherit this country now. And we feel like with every election cycle, what we're inheriting is getting less and less. The civilization is declining. And we're simply saying, hey, we've come of age. This is what we voted for, and we're not getting it. And so I think that that's the generational divide.
All right, same question.
Let's cut it out right there. We'll come back to that. That actually was released 21 hours ago over at Walkaway, Brandon Straka's project, The Great MAGA Divide, Baby Boomers versus Millennials. And we're going to play more clips of that coming up in the third hour, but I kind of wanted to give you all a taste of it. That was the millennials kvetching about what they're inheriting. And it was funny. They go, oh, we didn't talk about the Gen Xers. You know, Gen Xers aren't bitching. We're just doing our thing. And, you know, we probably got the tail end of the golden age of the boomer. I think, you know, the 90s, you could still, you know, gas was still 99 cents a gallon in the South, you know. I mean, you still could afford things. A $20 bill was good. Now it's like a $20 bill. It's nothing. You need a $250 bill to get anything. So we'll play more of those clips later, and when we come back, we're going to talk about AlphaGal.
this Memorial Day, honor freedom, and save big at the alexjonesstore.com. Right now, get an additional 25% off already discounted products. Limited time, limited supply. Take action now.
Introducing the Gates of Hell Parasite shirt. Inspired by the tick that turned barbecue lovers into cautious vegans overnight. Alpha Gal approved. Order now before the next helicopter drop.
Introducing the new 1776 wallet from the alexjonesstore.com. Now with enough room to hold receipts from groceries that somehow cost $500.
Don't wait any longer. Go to the website now. You'll be happy you did.
You are tuned in to the War Room Live with your host, Rob Dude.
Welcome back. Start of the second hour of the War Room Live. I'm your host, Rob Dew, sitting in for Harrison Smith, who was sitting in for Alex this morning. And Alex is taking a well-deserved break. This has been an interesting transition for the people once known as the InfoWars crew. Now we're the Alex Jones Live crew. And, you know, same great crew, different look. But, you know, guys, let's pull up alexjoneslive.com so people can see it real quick. You know, when you go there, literally the live stream is on, is like the front of the whole site right there. Boom. War Room Live. Now, boom, you can go there, click on the live. It takes you to whatever's live. But then you got the Alex Jones Show, the War Room. We got the Special Reports channel. All these things, essentially the same information. But we're in a little bit more of a condensed space for the time being. We'll see how long that happens. We'll see how long we're here. We're working on bigger studios. A lot of these things, though, this studio looks small. A lot of stuff packed in here. A lot of stuff packed into the control room. A lot of stuff packed into the podcast area. So it's all designed basically with your support out there. We wouldn't have this had you guys not said, hey, we need to keep Alex Jones on the air. So everybody went, you know, to the alexjonesstore.com, gets, you know, all the great products. Still, you still got time for buy one, get one free of iodine and or methylene blue. So I think if you get one iodine, you get one free, second one free. Buy one methylene blue tincture, get one free. So you could essentially really stock up right there with iodine and methylene blue tincture. Now, I use iodine in addition to just taking it sublingually. I'll put it on a rinse to, if I got a stuffed up nose, I'll mix a little colloidal silver with the salt solution and some iodine and shoot that up through my nose to clean things out. I'm not one for going to get antibiotics and prescription drugs. But let's go. The Mega Sales still have 40% off Methylene Blue Gummies, War Cry Smelling Salts, Ultra DNA Revival, which is essentially DNA Force, up to 35% off Zeolite Tincture, Creatine Powder, Atomic Defense, Methylene Red Tincture, MK Ultra, which is our Vitamin K and Magnesium Blend, and Ultimate Chill and Energy, and then 30% off Iodine Tincture, Methylene Blue Caps, CMOS Capsules and Gummies, Shilajit Capsules and Gummies. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com, and it's your support that is able to keep us here and help us launch the new thing, which is going to be even better than what we had going before. I mean, if you guys thought the last studios looked amazing, I can't wait. I've only seen some rough mock-up drawings, and it's already 10 times better than what we've had before. And I'm sure by the time it's done, it's going to be even better. But let's go to this. Let's go to Tick-Borne Alpha Gal. This is Nicholas Holscher. He's a doctor who's, he was doing a lot on COVID, but now he's kind of pivoted over to Alpha Gal, which is another version of these weaponized ticks that they're sending out into the world. People were showing them in boxes falling from the sky. Guy's walking around. He's got ticks all over him. You can buy, here's a remedy. You can get bags of sulfur, like the yellow sulfur. And It was Mike Adams who said you just pour a little sulfur in a sock, and the sock is kind of your delivery mechanism. When you tap it against your leg or on your shoes and on your pants, it puts a little powder on there, but it's not like dumping a whole bunch of powder. It's just enough to go through the sock. So you do that, and it repels ticks. Amazing stuff. It repels other things, too. It probably repels chiggers. I think when I did sulfur powder when I was in Boy Scouts, we were putting that on our shoes when we were hiking for chiggers. So it works for chiggers. It works for ticks. Probably works for fleas. I don't know if you got pets. Diatomaceous earth also works against fleas. Another natural thing. You know, you don't have to go get some poison that disrupts your, you know, that poisons your kidneys or something. You can just get these natural elements that are out there and use them. But let's go to Nicholas Holscher, his report on AlphaGal and the amount, the increase we're seeing, the parabolic increase that's coinciding with these ticks. And the awakening that, you know, Bill Gates is partially responsible for this. So here it is.
There's a major, major tick problem going on. A new study came out a few months ago, and they literally found AlphaGal syndrome, the incidence of AlphaGal syndrome, the allergy to red meat from the Lone Star ticks, skyrocketed up 10,000% in just 10 years. And then we look to 2021 to 2024, it jumped up another 300%, another sharp increase. So something's going on. Something is driving these ticks.
Is that the left is blaming it on climate change? I know you're an epidemiologist, but is that normal with an illness that's been around for a long time, like AlphaGal, to just suddenly be everywhere at the same time?
No, we do not believe this is actually from climate change. In fact, we have to start looking at government-related or NGO-related laboratory activities, especially given that the Gates Foundation gave over $7 million to a biotech company to make genetically engineered ticks, as well as the U.S. Army released 270,000 radioactive-labeled ticks into the wild in the 1960s. And the FBI, they got to figure out if there are any illegal bioterror-related activities resulting in this 10,000% rise in AlphaGal. We can't let this go on. We got to stop it. We got to find out why.
There you go. So will we see this seems like RFK. This seems like Department of Interior. This seems like a whole CDC even should be getting involved. And looking at this and really looking at this problem and going, yeah, you know what? There was a program where we were dropping ticks. Here's the paperwork for the program, because people won't believe it. They've seen the boxes fall out of the sky. They see the boxes open up with thousands of ticks in them. And they're going like, where's this coming from? But there seems to be a solution. And I'm going to come to that solution in a second. And I'm going to relate it to something I just went through in the last 2 weeks. Guys, we'll go to the picture of, this is a shot of my attic, and you could see my wife went and took these pictures after I fell. You could see up at the top, the little hole that, I crawl up to. It's the access up in the attic. And I've turned basically anything I can into attic space. And then you see the ladder right there. Well, that ladder was just a ladder that was propped up, and I'm not sure how it happened, but when I was up there, it slid backwards and I came down pretty quickly. You could see the Ryobi riding lawnmower. I broke the steering wheel. I mean, it's there, but it's broken. When you grab it, it's been broken. And then there's two brake pedals down there, or two pedals. One of them's a brake pedal. One of them's another type of shifter. And I landed on that. My head hit. You could see the blue cooler right there, the Yeti. My head hit that cooler. Scroll down and you can see that. You can see actually the little impression my head left on it. That was the side of my face. Actually, guys, come to me real quick. I was turning to turn on the light when I fell. So I was like this, and then I went whoosh. So I landed on my side. And so this next picture, this is my face at 10:30 in the morning. And you can see the swelling underneath my eye. Okay. And it's pretty big, and it got worse throughout the day, but that was at 10:30. And I put those two pictures on X, and we're like just telling people, you know, hey, double check your ladders. Even though you think they may be secure, double check them. You don't want to fall. I can't believe I didn't break any bones. You know, I've got a guardian angel somewhere, I'm assuming, because something, you know, the fall was about 9 feet, till you hit the ground. I didn't actually hit the ground because I landed on my riding lawnmower and my my cooler. And now, so this is about 10:30. This next shot I'm going to show you is from me after I did my first acupuncture session. I went to a local acupuncture clinic in Austin, and you can see there's no more swelling under my eye. Literally, by whatever they stick those needles, I guess they're needles or pins, whatever. I don't know what their technical term is for them, but they stuck them all over my face. They stuck them on my back. Basically, you know, on those parts of my body, and then also like parts of my arm, in my feet. They stick some in my ear and just, you know, and you lay there for about an hour and then boom, they pull them all out. And then I got to the office and I'm like, let me take a picture of myself. I couldn't believe I had no more swelling in my eye. Now the blood and stuff for the bruise kind of happened quickly. And I have I don't know if I put a picture in there of, now the other picture, because I know some people put when I posted that, oh, you're in the Black Eye Club. Derf, derf. No, I'm not that important. I can't be bought up. But here's a shot showing the bruise under my arm. That was from, so the side of my head hit, and there's the other arm that hit, I guess, the ladder. So this bruise, using the acupuncture and some, they had some plasters that they put on with stuff on it, took the bruise away in about 3 days. Amazing stuff. Like, I've done 7 sessions of acupuncture in the last 2 weeks, and I don't think I'd be walking and being able to do a 3-hour show without doing it. Now, what does this have to do with alpha-gal? Well, apparently, A-E-L Templar, A-E-T-H-E-M-P-L-A-E-R on X, put this out. I'm going to tell you all in a secret. Alpha-gal syndrome, tick-induced meat allergy, can be cured by acupuncture. I'm not even kidding. The specific mechanisms are more scientific, though. Puncturing the skin in sensitive areas like the ear causes immune reset. And that is one of the things they were doing. They were putting pins around my ears, in the ear, all different spots. The WEF is in shambles. And here he has a cutout from a study. And it said, method, we perform retrospective review of subjects treated at 2 different medical clinics that apply the same method of ocular acupuncture, SAAT, to AGS patients. That's alpha-gal syndrome patients. The results, a total of 137 patients presented to the 2 sites included in the study. The majority of the patients were mammal product eaters before AGS. However, at the time, only 7.3 actively consumed mammal products. Most were sensitive to beef, dairy, the most common organ systems prior to allergic reaction. For those individuals with available outcome, the effectiveness, 121, 96% of the patients indicated their systems were in remission after SSAT, that's acupuncture. 5 individuals indicated their symptoms were not in remission. 11 individuals were unsure and were unable to be reached for follow-up. And so people were questioning that. And, you know, I don't know all how the acupuncture works, but what I imagine, because each pin, if you look at it closely, it's a little pin needle about this long, and then on top of it, it's a coil. And so what I'm imagining is that coil is probably some sort of antenna that's grabbing whatever ether, I don't know, something out of the atmosphere, or it's doing something where it's hitting, going into your nerve, and increasing blood flow. It does all kind of things. You know, I always feel great after doing it. And this clinic, very, very, very inexpensive. You know, some places you go to and you get your own room and, you know, it'd be like $200 a session. This, I'm paying like $40 a session plus whatever, you know, Chinese herbs they've put together. I'm taking a couple of those things. But, you know, $40 a session but you are in a room with a bunch of other people. So it's a very communal atmosphere. For sure, but everybody's got their own big easy boy or lazy boy. So here, the brain perceives the body differently than it exists in physical form. If you map neurons responsible for specific regions onto the brain, you get a somasensory map. You may have seen one of these below, the funny cartoon in which the human scalp and how neurons are responsible for different areas of the body. I think they also called that, I think a version of that's phrenology, where they looked at the wrinkles in your head. Anyway, for whatever reason or another, it turns out human ears are plugged into this wire map. Who knows why? There are some theories as to how, like the fourth image below, but maybe that's more pseudoscience. The truth is the ear does have integration into the vagus nerve, the trigeminal nerve, and the pelvic plexus nerves. The vagus nerves in particular are important because it interacts with the immune system and inflammation. And that means you can program your own immune system by influencing that part of the ear. You don't have to do acupuncture and terrorize that part of the nervous system. The theory is that the pain followed by soothing overexcites and calms down your immune system. But in fact, you can do anything ranging from putting ice, putting a warm compress, to massaging it. Acupuncture just grabs more clicks for the researchers, but there's other ways to do it. Yes, you can definitely do that. What the acupuncture does is, especially if you're doing it for an hour, it basically just gets the body flowing blood, because what cures things faster is blood flow and all these things. You know, you're trying to get, that's why putting ice on stuff isn't necessarily good, but it'll help bring down the inflammation. So ice will bring down the inflammation, but then you want to do warm stuff after that, and that increases blood flow. Like on my back, I'm literally lying on the side, and they've got, because that's where I think the most damage happened. So about a week into this, I sneeze, and I think I pulled a muscle or tore a muscle and cracked a couple ribs. I don't know. I never went to the doctor to get x-rays, but man, it hurt. It was a freaking sneeze, though. It happened at night, and a week into it. And I'd gone back and done a little bit of yoga. I'd done a yoga class after falling less than a week back. But then this sneeze, boom, took me back out. But I tell you, the acupuncture, for me, it works. Give it a try if you've got some chronic pain out there or if you've just had an accident. I credit that to X, because I put the two pictures out there and one person goes, you should go get acupuncture. I had a fall. I went and got acupuncture and boom, it increased my healing time vastly. So it lessened the time it took to heal. So he was able to heal quicker, I guess. It increased the time that he was able to get back enjoying himself. So I don't know. You could go back and find my post on that. And I credit the guy who said, go check out acupuncture. And now it seems like it may be a cure for alpha-gal syndrome. So who would have thunk it? That old Chinese medicine would work in that situation. All right, let's do a timeline cleanse. Let's go to the Pastor Manning clip. I don't know what number this is, guys, but this is I'm tired of the Democratic Party making bitches out of all our women. And we're going to see what else he says after that. But here's the colorful Pastor Manning.
Woman can't raise children. You can't raise children with tits. You got to have balls. You got to have a man. And for a man to not take responsibility to raise his children or to be executed, you have a responsibility before God. And we don't want to hear that. Women's rights. No. We got the sickest, poorest, economically deficient people on the planet. The other thing is this, is that when that boy Mondami came out on the scene, this nigga is a Muslim. He is a jihadist, if you will, intifada, if you must, Hamas-supporting, anti-Jesus Muslim. And niggas are talking about he got a good program. I don't give a damn how good his program is. He's a Muslim, and Jesus is Lord. And I'm voting for him, and I ain't tell nobody else to vote for him. The hell's wrong with you? I'm tired of the Democrat Party making bitches out of our women and pussies out of our men. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I've had enough of it. I've had enough of it. The man needs to stand up and be a man.
There you go. That's Pastor Manning. Sort of a cleanse there after our acupuncture screed. So we're coming up on the end of the first part of the second hour. The third hour, I am going to take your calls. I'll give out the number coming up in the next hour. And I think we're going to go into more Alex Jones telling you stuff years before it becomes accessible or becomes, you know, in vogue to talk about once again. I got to find that clip. I'll find it after, or I'll find it during the break. But let's go to this clip. We got time to play this one. This is former Israeli intelligence officer Ari Ben-Menashe. He says Netanyahu will sabotage a U.S. Iran deal by releasing the most damaging Epstein files. So we'll know if some news outlet suddenly gets a hold of some Epstein files here. It was being done at the behest of Netanyahu. Which, would that be a good thing? Would that be a bad thing? What do you think? I don't know. I think more transparency. And if people got to go in Trump's cabinet, so be it. You know, shouldn't have been messing around. Shouldn't have been messing around with some scumbag like Epstein. So here's that video.
What will pressure Netanyahu to release the real information that no one has at the moment?
In my opinion, if there's a real deal between the Americans and the Iranians, and it's going towards that, Netanyahu will try to sabotage it. One of the ways he'd sabotage it is by putting out Epstein material against U.S. government officials, including Trump. And he put it out there. New material that wasn't seen before in public.
So it's not just Trump. I know that Howard Lutnick is mentioned. There are officials.
And not just Trump, other officials too. Yes. And he'll try to sabotage the whole negotiation and deal that they're trying to make together.
So we've already seen that from others saying that we're only going to let a deal happen that we want to happen. I think it was one of the guys in Netanyahu's cabinet. And so that seems to be out on the table as the latest in blackmail will be a release of Epstein files. So be on the lookout for that. If it happens, we'll know who we can thank for that. It'll be Netanyahu. Here's an update on a horrible story out of the UK of a young man who was stabbed. And then when he went to go ask for police for help, they were like, hey, we're going to arrest you, racist. So police apologized for handcuffing stabbing victim while he was dying. Yeah, he was stabbed in his lung, and he basically choked on his blood while police officers were making jokes of it. So a police force has apologized after officers handcuffed a fatally injured man despite telling him that he had been stabbed. Elon Musk has now offered to fund a private prosecution against the UK police force. The trial of Vikram Digwa, for the murder of 18-year-old Henry Novak, heard that the teenager collapsed and subsequently died after he suffered a fatal stab wound to the chest. The court was told officers from Hampshire Constabulary had handcuffed him after Digwa told them he had been the victim of a racist attack. See, that's what they get to do. They get to attack people and then go, oh, I'm being attacked. This is Democrat behavior right here at its finest. After he stabs a guy, the officers took action and arrested Mr. Novak despite telling them he had been stabbed, and it was only after he collapsed and lost consciousness that they started to offer aid. So I hope they get their ass thrown against the wall, because that's despicable.
When Barack Obama's birth certificate came out, and I went to the government website, I downloaded the birth certificate, I put it into Adobe Photoshop, I separated the layers, and I thought, this is crazy. They released a fake birth certificate. I didn't need somebody to tell me that. I didn't need... You know, I didn't read somebody say that and just believe it on trust of them. I did it myself. I saw it with my own eyes. I did it with my own hands. And then I tell my friend, he's like, you know, that's racist, right? I'm like, what? No, I just did it. And they're like, you know, it's like a racist conspiracy theory, right? And you're like, what? What is going on? So if you've experienced that, the reason is some people do not have the chemical balance to handle things like that. You need a lot of testosterone to handle things like that. You need to have your mind not warped and distorted by the dopamine feedback loop that social media is designed to create in your brain to enforce you into the pre-established, preordained, approved of mindset. So if you're here, you probably already are winning the chemical war over your own body, but that's why we sell the supplements that we do. Pretty much everybody takes them. Who doesn't take vitamins? Who doesn't supplement in some way or another? Who doesn't add a protein scoop when they get a smoothie at the store or take vitamin D or vitamin C or fish oil, you know, before bed or you know, when you wake up? Isn't a crazy thing. This isn't an out there woo-woo type of thing. Everybody takes supplements. Everybody I know takes supplements. And if you're not, you should be. And so all we do is get the best supplements on the market, white label them. And so you get them from us, you're probably getting a better price than at the store. And you're absolutely getting the best possible quality of all of these products. If you're here for the first time and don't know why you would support us, because you get the information for free, because the streams are free, because there's no obligation for you to support us, that's all part of the strategy. The fact is, we're able to keep this free because you go to thealexjonesstore.com. Put this information into action. You have to understand the attack on humanity itself and then fight back against it in two different ways. One, by advocating and trying to seize power politically to change things from the top down. But while that's going on, you got to be protecting yourself against this stuff. And we have a lot of supplements and vitamins and minerals and merchandise for you to do exactly that. Things like Atomic Defense, Methylene Blue, Methylene Red. These things are extremely powerful and combat exactly the type of poisons that we talk about on a continual basis. So I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not making claims here. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, cure any diseases or anything. But I'm saying that in the modern world, it's microplastics and, you know, atrazine and herbicides and growth hormones and fluoride that they put in the water on purpose because they want you dumb. You have to combat these things. You have to be protecting yourself and building up your internal shield so you can even handle the information that we're bringing to you. And that really is a thing. Testosterone, the higher your testosterone is, the more likely you are to go against the grain, to reject the herd mentality of the crowd, and instead pursue justice or pursue the truth, regardless of who says anything about it. And there's a chemical balance that has to be achieved there. But that's why there's such an attempt to lower your IQ, lower your testosterone, lower your masculinity, lower your self-sufficiency, lower your self-confidence. Because they want you a tired, weak, overwhelmed, overworked slave. That's what the people in power have designed this world to do to you. And you don't have to take it. You can fight back. You can protect yourself. You can reverse the effects of the damage that's done to your body, as it is to all of our bodies, by going to the Alex Jones store and getting a product.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
They're making the frogs gay. I got methylene blue in my brain. They're trying to kill us with 5G rays. Tinfoil hat to block the pain. Manufactured crisis, send in the actors. Another false flag, Las Vegas snipers. Aliens are interdimensional demons. I take male vitality pill.
That's some live. Guys, show people where they could find that.
Cost $1 million. To tell the truth.
That AI. More AI slop. InfoWars Volume 1, Alex Jones. I like that font off to the right. It looks like a 300 font.
InfoWars Volume 1.
Yeah. It's going to be kind of hard to stop the InfoWar. Retards are finding that out right now. They're literally going, we thought we stopped him. If we just said we stopped him, he would stop. And he's not stopping. Sorry. Sorry, retards. We're not stopping. We're going to keep going. I'm going to give out the phone number here because in the third hour, I want to take your phone calls as I intermix with the news that I haven't got to yet. Like 432 hertz music. You know about that? I listen to it. There's all kind of hertzes you could listen to. And I've been tuning into that stuff for a while now. Well, I'm able to maintain my calm demeanor. If you only knew the truth. I can get a little heated myself, which is why I totally understand where Alex is coming from. Yeah, we'll get into the CIA official with $40 million in gold bars and $2 million in cash. But let's give out the number, 512-266-0642. That is 512-266-0642. We're going to take your calls in the third hour, but I've got this to get to first. There's a Mike Benz clip that came out. This is clip 17, guys, we're going to go to in a second. But Mike Benz was giving out some information like this was breaking news. And believe me, I love Mike Benz. I love the fact that he does these three-hour blobosphere-type things where he just kind of gets into the real nitty-gritty of how our government operates. But when I see him, you know, say stuff about, you know, John Brennan and the 9/11 hijackers, I'm like, wait, I heard this on Alex Jones. And I went through, you know, and did some online searches trying to find these clips. It's hard to find clips now, but I did my best. And I've just got examples of Alex talking about this very same issue of how the 9/11 hijackers came through Saudi Arabia, even ones that weren't from Saudi Arabia, were given visas to travel. And when people brought it up, consulate employees were like, hey, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. It was like, shut up, this is above your pay grade. This is for terror training. So I'm going to have a bunch of clips of Alex talking about that. But let's go to Mike Benz first. Let's hear what he has to say, and then we'll just follow the rabbit trail to see where it goes. Here is Mike Benz.
The visa scandals are all over this. You know, it was John Brennan, as CIA station chief, by the way, in Saudi Arabia, in the run-up to 9/11, who together with the U.S. consulate issued the visas to 15 of the 19 9/11 hijackers. That was our visas. Now, look, there were only 11 of the 19 were Saudis. They were actually giving Saudi visas to non-Saudis. And 15 of the 19, you can read all about this in the guy who ran the visa desk for that U.S. consulate, is J. Michael Springman. He wrote a book called Visas for Terrorists, where he goes over how the whole thing was done.
So he's talking about J. Michael Springman. And people are like, oh, I've never heard of that name before. I have no idea who that is. Well, the top version of the video list has moved. There it is. All right. We're going to work our way back in time. We're going to go to 2015. So this is what, 11 years ago? This is Alex Jones actually interviewing J. Michael Springman in 2015. And some of this information overlap, but we're just going to show you how far back it goes. All right, here we go, clip 7.
The whole visa controversy that's been coming out the last few weeks after the attacks in San Bernardino that left 14 dead has really been coming to a head. And then even more came out today, even though I've been working for about a week to get Mr. Springman on the broadcast. Michael Springman, michaelspringman.com, served as the United States government as a diplomat with the State Department's Foreign Service while postings in Germany, India, and Saudi Arabia, and also worked with the U.S. Commerce Department. He left federal service and currently practices law in the Washington, D.C. area. michaelspringman.com. That's two N's. And he came out after 9/11 and talked to his colleagues who were openly told, you're going to let... And he's told the story before, so I'm just recapping it. He's getting a new stuff today. These people in that have these terrorist backgrounds, and he said, well, we're not going to do that. And they said, well, they work for the CIA, basically, so we've been ordered to. And now we see, and of course, this was back in 2001, 2002, he exposed all this. Now we see everything he talked about confirmed in spades every day. And his book exposes the whole situation. We'll tell you about the title of that as well and put that up on screen. Visas for Al-Qaeda. CIA handouts that rock the world.
Well, I think if the way out, if we can get a way out, is to get people in Congress who are not afraid to take the point on this and to build a fire under the executive branch and the judicial branch, saying enough is enough. We want full and complete disclosure. And one very good way they can do it is simply have a parade of congressmen go in and look at the concealed and still secret 28 pages in the September 11th report on intelligence failures and simply memorize a paragraph or a couple of sentences and get onto the floor of the House or the Senate and say, this is what I saw in that reading room, and put it out on the air, put it out in print, and see what happens from this.
Well, we've had a few of them on here, like Walter Jones, and it says Saudi Arabia consciously at the highest levels ran the attacks. Our government knew from the beginning, stood down on purpose, basically complicit. It is bombshell information. It is treason proven. And people say, oh, it's worse than that. We know, but we have them in their own report. I mean, so if that comes out, it all comes out.
Yeah, and they've got to start doing this. I mean, you had Dennis Kucinich who would question this, but he's been gerrymandered out of Congress by the Democrat branch of the permanent party. And the people we've got in the past, for example, we had the Church report that really went to town on the intelligence services. And we need people like that again.
Well, this time it's our own intelligence services coming out saying it's all a fraud, and our military saying it. It's not usually the military, having to try to stop wars. Usually they're trying to start it, at least in the past. That shows how corrupt our elite are, that we actually have a lot of generals doing the right thing now, which is unprecedented.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we need more people like Smedley Butler from the 1930s.
Well, I mean, the folks running the show there need to know that all these yes men and women are really creating a climate of absolute and complete tyranny. MichaelSpringman.com. Briefly, tell folks about the book. I mean, I read the book. It's extremely powerful. You learn a lot. Everybody should buy it and donate it after they read it to the library so that more people read it.
Yeah, great. Thank you. The basics of the book is it's 250 pages of my own personal experience with the Department of State and with the legal system trying to find out why I had been fired, coupled with 2 years of research on what I call the Arab-Afghan Legion, the terrorists that the United States recruited for the war in Afghanistan against the Soviet Union, who were then transformed or rebranded into Al-Qaeda. And when that got old, they turned them into ISIL. And it's the same crowd of fanatics. I talked to Colonel Anthony Schaefer, U.S. Army retired. He said that, yeah, the same guys that are in Iraq now fighting are the same people we recruited for Afghanistan.
Wow. You know, we run the terrorists. We run our own little terrorist group. Israel runs its own little terrorist group. Iran runs its little terrorist group. Nobody wants to get their hands wet doing anything. All right, now we're going to go. This is Alex Jones in 2010. So we're going to go back. We just went back 11 years. All right, now we're going to go back 16 years. Alex Jones talking about J. Michael Springman and how the terrorists came and got into this country legally through the system. Here it is.
Sybil Edmonds, the high-level FBI NSA liaison interpreter, has now broken her gag order earlier this year. She testified before the 9/11 Commission, and she said, look, the information I told the commission, the information that they gagged me from telling anybody, is that I was listening to conversations with the commanders of Al-Qaeda working for the CIA in narcotics trafficking, weapons trafficking, human trafficking, and terror, and that they were about to launch a major operation under CIA command. Do you understand that this is on record? And as we told you years ago with Able Danger, we've had Anthony Schaefer on, Tony Schaefer. It's now Fox News exclusive. Yeah, they're going to tell us the sun comes up in the morning. Witnesses and Defense Department reports suggest cover-up of 9/11 findings, backing up what Tony Schaefer, the colonel, said, that there were contractors over there who knew all about Al-Qaeda, were clearly working in and around them, and that they tried to go in and take out these groups and found out that this operation was about to be launched, and they were barred from stopping it. But that was only a sub-cover story. We know Atta and the other hijackers on record worked at U.S. military bases and had security clearances, and I've had the head of the visa section of the Saudi Arabian Jeddah office, Mr. Springman, on 9 years ago. We had him back on this year. who talked to CIA people and others in the State Department and were told, yes, we ordered them to be given visas, Atta and others, to come back in, even though they were on terror list, because it was a cover. They were CIA operatives. I mean, we've got this thing from A to Z. We know it's an inside job, period. Just with the bombs, just with the buildings, that's total proof, and the thermite residue and all that evidence. Then you got NORAD standing down. You got Cheney ordering the Pentagon to stand down in front of Norman Panetta, the head of transportation. You've got the head of the U.S. Visa section in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, Springman, being told, you know, I'm not going to let these people in. They've got terrorist backgrounds. State Department says, don't worry, it's a CIA cover. You know, let Mohammed Atta and all these people in. That's what he was told. Then we have MSNBC, hijackers trained at U.S. military bases. You have James Woods, the actor, a week before the attacks, on a plane, and Atta and others are getting up, like, doing drills, because they thought they were doing, you know, airport security drills. They were hired by Homeland Security. Boy, did they get set up. And we now don't know if the FBI was paying for their houses, their credit cards. This has all come out. They had Israelis shadowing them as well, the art students. This all even came out on Fox News.
All the stuff that people are talking about now, Alex Jones is talking about it back in 2010. The Israelis, the visas, CIA letting them in. And who became the head of the CIA? John Brennan. He was there running it all from his little office in Jeddah. All right. 16 years, not enough. Let's go back even further. Let's go back 24 years. How about that? May 1st, 2002, Alex Jones talking to Michael Springman. So 24 years ago. 24 years ago. Cracking the case. Here it is.
We're now joined by Michael Springman, worked for the U.S. government for 20 years with Foreign Service and Consulate. And when he started complaining about being ordered, he was the head of the local consulate there in Saudi Arabia, to issue these ID cards to people with questionable ties. He later found out it was a CIA operation. Again, I'm reading from a transcript from the BBC Newsnight report with our good friend Greg Palast. In fact, let me just read two paragraphs from this and we'll go to our guest. Palast: Newsnight has uncovered a long history of shadowy connections between the State Department and the CIA and the Saudis. The former head of America Visa Bureau in Jeddah is Michael Springman. Michael Springman: in Saudi Arabia, I was repeatedly ordered by high-level State Department officials to issue visas to unqualified applicants. These were, again, essentially people who had no ties to either Saudi Arabia or to their own country. I complained bitterly at the time there. I returned to the U.S. I complained to the State Department there, to the General Accounting Office, to the Bureau of Diplomatic Security, and in the Inspector General's office, I was met with silence. Palast: but now Bush Sr., once CIA director, was in the White House. Springman was shocked to find this wasn't visa fraud, rather State Department CIA were playing the great game. Joining us for this newsmaker interview this evening is Michael Springman. Michael, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Great to have you on the show, Michael.
Thank you.
For those that, give us a little bit more about your bio, about yourself, and then break this incredible story down for us.
Okay. I had been assigned to the consulate at Jeddah, and the first thing you have to remember is that the consulate there is essentially a CIA operation. Of some 15 to 20 Washington-based Americans, there were only three people, including myself, whom I'm certain had no ties to either any of the American intelligence services, either professional or familial. I had gotten some strange questions before I went out to Jeddah from the then ambassador, Walter Cutler, who kept talking about visa problems and how I should do my best to make sure everything ran smoothly. Once I got there, I found I was being ordered to issue visas to, as I said in the article and as you mentioned earlier,
I guess they just think we're all totally stupid and they're just going to get away with it.
Well, the American people don't get the full story. The mainstream press doesn't want to hear any of this stuff. And it seems to go from bad to worse. I thought with my raising hell and eventually losing my job over making the agency look bad, that all of this had stopped. But 15 of the 19 people who had gotten visas who allegedly were responsible for flying airplanes into the Pentagon and the World Trade Towers, they came from Jeddah in Saudi Arabia and got visas at the consulate there. And
now that's an important point. Can you, folks, I want you to wake up right now, you know, put the Budweiser down. Can you repeat that one more time for them, please, sir?
Sure. According to the Los Angeles Times, 15 of the 19 people, the Saudis, who were allegedly responsible for flying planes into the World Trade Towers at the Pentagon, they got their visas from the consulate at Jeddah. Now, according to a journalist I know in Florida, this was done through a new wrinkle in the visa procedures there. At the time I was running the visa section, I personally interviewed at least one member of a family or just about everyone who wanted to travel to the States. They had switched things so that the visas would be submitted in many instances through travel agencies that were approved by the consulate. And according to a conversation I had had with Celerino Castillo some years ago in an article I had been researching, it was an old agency ploy to put passports of its people in with legitimate trade groups or travel groups coming from travel agencies and send them to the consular section in the hopes they would be overlooked.
Somebody, if it's just a name at a travel desk at a travel agency, just show up with a fake ID and then board?
You could do that. The way it was explained to me is that they would go to the travel agency and say, I want to go to the United States. Can you get me a visa? I have to visit relatives there. I have business there, etc. And they would simply send a package of passports and visa applications over to the consular section. And because they came from a reputable source, people didn't look too closely at it, I guess.
Well, Bush is telling us to give up our liberty for security and we'll be safe, meanwhile leaving the borders wide open and doing all this. And, of course, in your interview with the BBC, it all ties back as well. We really see an acceleration of this, if I'm going by the transcript correctly, accurately. It all really accelerates with Poppy Bush, Bush Sr., former CIA director, when he's vice president and president.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you could say that. I know that when I was in Jeddah, it got to the point where the CIA base chief demanded to examine all visa applications that I had approved before I would be allowed to issue the visas, which I thought was really reaching for it. I had talked to a couple of people in the business, a former CIA case officer, who seemed to think it was kind of a local option as to whether the agency wanted to get that deeply involved in visa issuances. And I talked to a retired consular officer who said he had been in various posts, and they weren't quite as blatant about it as they were at Jeddah, but when he was in Kuala Lumpur, for example, the station chief would come over and ask to troll his visa application files looking for interesting people.
Amazing. So, again, the media would like us to forget that bin Laden was this big hero back during the 80s. In fact, I did a LexisNexis search at the library. This guy, I've got dozens of mainstream reports, New York Times, Washington Post, LA Times, AP, where he's this little hero from this great freedom fighter family in Saudi Arabia over there fighting the evil Soviets. And,
oh, yeah.
And then now the media says, oh, no connection, no, when the government never knew bin Laden. And but according to the evidence I've seen, and I've been on the phone and read the articles from the foreign press, even been in our news, we have bin Laden in July for 10 days with the CIA section chief there in there at the American hospital.
I had heard that from another guy, and, it must be something to it.
Well, it was in the Washington Times, Wall Street Journal, first broken in Le Figaro over in France, BBC. Go to Infowars.com in the government prior knowledge section and wade through several hundred articles, and there's a bunch of them in a subsection there. But they tell you in no uncertain terms, hey, buddy, grease the skids. We want an open spigot on whoever we want coming through here to the U.S. out of Saudi Arabia with our good little buddies over there, terror funding, you know, central. And again, correct me if any of this is not accurate. And then you don't play ball, and they kick you out. You get back to the U.S. When did you start asking questions and finding more out from these individuals you mentioned earlier?
It started, I guess, after I was out of the State Department in 91. And in, 92, 93, I started hearing from the journalist and from the two guys who knew more about what was going there than I did.
And what did these, in more detail, what did these individuals in these different positions, what did they tell you?
Well, they pretty much said flat out that the agency was bringing these people over for terrorist training, and that they wanted junior officers in the visa section with little or no supervision so that these people would scale on through, or if they did question them and did try to apply the Immigration and Nationality Act and the State Department's own regulations, they could be bounced out and said, well, geez, these guys are not with the program. They don't understand about the Foreign Service. They're not cooperative. They're not diplomatic, et cetera. And as I've told people, okay, so these guys were wrong. I misinterpreted what they were saying. Well, why has State Department stonewalled me in my request for information all these years? And what was the real reason these guys got visas? Because
oh. All right. Hey, let's go. I think we had a clip mishap. That was the end of that. But hey. We got a minute left. Let's just go to December 5th, 2001, because, you know, just months after 9/11, Alex Jones was talking about Michael Springman and the visas in Jeddah. Here it is.
Even before that, I interviewed Mr. Springman, who was in Jeddah, the head embassy chief there, and letting other terrorists in, and he was told this is part of a terrorism training thing that they're doing in the U.S., at secure U.S. military bases, let them in. It's a CIA operation.
Wow. Amazing. So kudos to Mike Benz for bringing this back out into the diaspora again. And, you know, Alex Jones was talking about it since 2001, right after 9/11, which was September 11th. So that's the book, if you want to pick it up and check it out, Visas for Al-Qaeda, Michael Springman, author and attorney. When we come back, we're going to go to your calls. I got Sean, Jefferson, Nathaniel. Don't forget, 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. We will take your calls. I think in this short segment, we're going to play a little more of the boomers versus the millennials. We'll hear from the boomers' side. We hadn't heard from them yet. And, look, the boomers aren't going to go quiet. I'll just give you...
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, like... these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. F*** that, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple,
but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack, a massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Share the links at alexjoneslive.com and on Rumble at thealexjonesshowlive.com. Shilajit gummies.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.